Welcome to the Duluth Rundown interview section. We are just about to get going with our next interview, but first, a message from our sponsor, Austin Jaro Sports. Austin Jaro is where you want to go to get anything running related, from gear to shoes to food, and of course, great advice from all the people that work up there. So check out Austin Jaro at 1025 West Central Entrance here in Duluth, Minnesota. Thanks, Austin Jaro.
Okay, and we are now in our interview portion of the podcast, and we are joined with local runner Mary Binsfield. Mary.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Thanks for joining us.
You are welcome. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. Well, let's start with an obvious starting place. When did you start running?
So when I started running?
Yeah.
So I was pretty young, but it wasn't anything serious, like not serious running. Mm-hmm. But I would say probably when I was about 14 or 15, and I was in track, like mm-hmm. junior high track, and I ran the 800. I was not good in any way, but I got out of school for the afternoon, and it was summertime usually in spring, so that was awesome.
Yeah.
And really, I don't know if anybody, now I'm going to really date myself, but the 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles, there was this amazing race between, if anybody remembers, Zola Budd and Mary Decker Slaney. Mm-hmm. And I watched these women compete, and I looked at them as track people and their grit, determination, and I'm like, that is me. Like, that's what I want. And I completely knew that in my, like, already in my being, sort of, like, I'm a runner. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where it started.
Yeah, I could totally see that. You know, I think a lot of people can relate to that kind of a thing where there's just something that's recognized instantly when you see that
on TV. Like, that's me.
Yeah, yeah.
So at that time, you were doing high school track at that time?
Yep, I was. So, which I love track. Like, I actually love the whole process of it. Like, I love the workouts and, I mean, just the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It was like, I like the running.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was really fun.
The team aspect,
exactly.
Everybody kind of working towards a goal.
Yeah, and they were hard.
Did you do cross country as well?
I did not. So where I grew up, we did not have cross country at the time. So we were a little behind.
My school was small, the same exact
small
way.
School.
Yeah.
So
Where'd you grow up?
Barnum area.
Oh yeah.
So,
okay.
And then I ended up graduating from Cloquet, but that was only my last couple of years. So Carleton County girl.
Were you, like, super fired up getting back to track practice after the Olympics then?
I was, actually.
Yeah. Like, so, this is me.
Right. That was so amazing. I'll just never forget that race.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, definitely.
What were your distances in track?
I ran the 800, but I was terribly slow comparatively. I have a couple daughters that are runners, and one of them actually runs the 800 in college, so nowhere near that time.
she's a little faster.
She genetic dupped or something. I'm not really sure, but
She was just inspired. Maybe you inspired her.
Perhaps. I'm not sure, but it was a way that she could hang out with me if she came running, so that was probably part of it.
Nice. What about after high school? How did your running progress, I guess, through high school and from there?
So after high school, I kind of took a little bit of break, and I didn't go back to college until I was probably 23, 24-ish. But in that time, I just pretty much kept in shape. Like, I've always done, like, it was just kind of running for me. Like, it was fun running. I lived down in the cities at the time, so it was like running the lakes, running around there, like Lake of the Isles and Harriet and Calhoun. And actually, during the inline skating time, we did a lot of that too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it wasn't until I moved back up to Duluth that I really started running again.
Okay.
So, and it was a different kind of running. So, like, it wasn't, I always knew too that I was more of a distance runner, and that's where my strengths were. And that's when I started, like, training for marathons. And I really, really, my favorite was trail running. I just love being out in the woods, and I actually really like, which sounds odd, but running by myself, thinking about the world.
So. You would have been a good cross-country runner in high school.
I probably would have. But we had to play volleyball. We didn't get the cross-country option.
Yeah.
What time of your life did you move back to Duluth? And
I think I was about 25. So So yeah, mm-hmm. about that time. Yeah.
Definitely still a young adult.
Yeah. And ironically, the first marathon I ever ran was, I'm sure people now, like trail running wise, are familiar with the Voyager and the Kernow. Well, mm-hmm. then it was the Half Voyager.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, that's my race. I'm just going to run that. And this is back in the day too. Shout out to all the Ski Hut guys. When I used to run with the Ski Hut people, you know, and we ran these trails before there were ever like trails.
Yeah.
And you generally at least got lost like once, once during the run. So you didn't know if you're going to go for an hour or 3 hours. It really didn't matter because we were all just out there running.
Right.
And so actually the first real quote unquote marathon I actually ran was the Half Voyager. And I ended up getting 10th in that race. I had three women that passed me at the end and I'll never forget that either.
No.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So I never let that happen again.
So you mentioned like out on the trails with that kind of weren't trails at that time. And I've heard other people mention that same thing.
Yeah, like Hartley.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I'm imagining when I hear those, and I've never asked anybody this, and so I'm asking you now, I'm just imagining like deer trails, deer path through the woods, and then people just kind of, let's see where that goes, just follow it. That's kind of how it worked?
Pretty much what it was, yeah.
Until like an actual kind of built trail got established, that's what it
exactly.
more or less was.
And they were called, and we still had like the guardrail loop, but it was not like, it is not at all what it was. Or what it is now, you know?
Right.
And there were, at the time, there were Nordic trails through there, so I think that we followed some of those.
Sure.
But, like, I don't even know if people know specific, like, entry points, but sort of when you're by UMD and you go in through Hartley that way, that literally was, like, a marsh. Like, you ran through that. Like, you ran through that between, you know, like, knee and thigh deep. Sometimes, so
interesting. Yeah,
it was fun. It was like that was just all part of it—the grit, the fun, being dirty, and you know, getting lost. I don't know. It was pretty amazing. That was a fun time.
Yeah, that's really cool.
High deep.
It was.
Oh, that's
funny. I wasn't that big. They were taller, so
yeah.
And it was generally the men, and I thought, and I used to always be like, well, they're never gonna like. I'm not going to let them be so, kind of quote better than me. So they'd always kind of run up ahead and I'd get there and I'd pretend like I wasn't out of breath at the top of a, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Top of the hill and they'd all take off again. I'd be like, God darn it, you know? But I made sure I kept up and I'll tell you what, I know it helped me on that Half Voyager that I ran. So
Totally. Yeah. That'll definitely toughen you up.
It was great. So.
So when you moved back to the Duluth area, Mary, like how did you get back into running or like what inspired you to maybe hop in a race or just maybe train?
I think it was just, I mean, like I kind of lived over by Chester at the time, so I was running a lot of those trails. Mm-hmm. And this is one thing in my life, like I am so blessed and grateful I've had running because it's something that I always come back to. So it's where I sort my world out kind of.
Yeah.
And so like I have just always gravitated back to that. Like that is just who I am.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's kind of nice to have company. So you'd find other runners, you know, and you find your group,
guys,
you know, ski hut guys. Exactly. Yeah. You all know who you are. You find your tribe out there, you know, so I don't want to sound super cliche, but and they're doing this. And like, I always just knew that I was really a trail runner, you know, first and foremost. Now I've done all kinds of, like regular road races and trail and Ragnar. And I mean, it kind of runs the gamut, but
yeah.
So
fun.
Yeah.
So why, Half Voyager or the Kernow back then? I mean, how did you even find out about it back then?
I think
then?
It was Mick Dodds, actually. He mentioned something about it, like, hey, I'm just, like, okay, and so these guys never really, like, trained for anything. They would just go do stuff, you know? So I think it was, like maybe a Thursday or Friday, like, and I think the race was on Saturday. He's like, yeah, I'm going to run this race. And I'm like, I am too, you know? And I did. Like, I literally wasn't completely training for anything like that.
Right.
I was just running. We were all just, you know, trail running for miles and hours on end. And I ran it and I'm like, this is who I am, you know, like
nice.
This puts it all together. And yeah, it was, I've ran a lot of different things and a lot of races that people would think are, I don't know, just really hard. And, and so the accomplishment of, and I've trained long periods of times for some of these, but honestly, the best race I ever ran was that one. And I'll never forget it. Like, that is my, yeah, that's my heart race that I ever ran. So not that it was a race, it was a run. I mean, it was just,
right.
Yeah.
It
right.
was just put everything all together. So
despite awesome. getting passed.
Yeah.
Three times.
Yep.
In the finishing stretches.
Right. Well, these three girls were running together. I don't even know if you'd be out there or know who you are, but I will never forget that. It was right before the finish and I didn't even see them coming, but I look around now.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Just one little look behind the shoulder.
Yep. It's like, whoop. So.
So did you think, I like racing, I want to do more races, or was it just back to the jogging with the pals?
After that, I think I became sort of more like marathon centric. And I just wanted to start doing, like, to actually train, you know, and to see where that got me. So that took me into doing some grandma's marathons and, I don't know, some other races. So,
yeah. And what was training like with those first marathons? It sounds like you were maybe a little more structured once.
I was a little more structured, but I never had any type of actual coaching. That didn't come until later. So it was hit and miss. I mean, I did okay. They were fine, you know.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I kind of got older, which is funny because, like, running can be through your whole life. You know, you don't have to. I don't know. I really found, like, some of my best running was when I was older, which is into my 40s.
Right, yeah.
But for real, but, like, your mind and your body are all there. You know what you want, and you can focus, and you can collectively bring that all together, you know?
Right.
So, I don't know.
When you say structured, were you following, like, specific training plans?
I was, but back then, you know, like, you had to go to the library or find something or, like, look in, like, running magazine and sort of some, you know?
Yeah.
So I was just kind of vaguely doing what I thought I could do. And I ran okay races. It wasn't until I, you know, like, I really focused in and wanted to set certain goals in my head, you know, that I felt like I really started to really run.
Okay.
You know? So,
yeah.
I imagine too, you mentioned in track, you really liked the whole process of it.
I do.
I would imagine then once you kind of got more of a focused training, that was enjoyable as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's not the race day. To me, getting to the race day is a privilege and an honor to be there.
Yeah.
And all that you have worked for is there, you know, like, this is just the, you know, this is where it all comes together. But that whole process, is just incredible. I never miss a day. Like, I always follow the plan.
Yeah.
I've met so many people in the community, long-term friends, you guys, obviously.
Yeah.
I've been doing some, like, I don't know, like, reading and whatever, and I don't know if anybody's ever read Atomic Habits, but there is in this book, I think it's James Clear is the author. But anyways, he even points this out, like, it's not the goal. Like, if you set your life by the goal, once you get the goal is done.
Yeah.
It's enjoying that whole process up and through that point. And I've really been thinking about that. And I can say that from the beginning until that end, quote unquote goal is where you're present and where you're working hard for that, you know? And it's an amazing journey. So,
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Fun. How are you setting that endpoint? Like, did you have bucket list races or just, like, grandma's the local one?
I kind of did, you know, Like, you know, we all have the Boston idea.
Okay.
And that was one of them, you know? So, I really kind of set my sights on that, and that's sort of how I first met Tony. I had gotten involved, and this I think is I don't know, probably 11 years ago at least. I'm thinking like 2014 maybe-ish.
Seems about right.
Yeah. But I was on the Young Athletes Foundation for Grandma's Marathon, and I had a friend, and I had been running and like really kind of wanted to set a goal, and I said, I need a focus group. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hadn't run with running groups before. I always kind of was individual and ran on my own.
You're right.
And he brought me over to Tony Stenslin, and he says, this is the guy. And ever since then, you know, like, we've been great friends.
Yeah.
And that really, being focused and running with a group was really important to me. And I know for a fact that I would have never done what I did without that group and without that coaching and training. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really fun.
Yeah. Those were super fun times. And I've said it a million times, the strength of the group was the group.
Absolutely.
Just the everybody working together
yeah.
just made it real special. Yeah.
It was.
And still does to this day.
Yeah. yeah. And I think we all still keep, I don't know, a lot of those friendships and
definitely
and running times together. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of fun times.
And you get Memories. To meet people, too, just on the group thing real quick that
yeah.
that you normally wouldn't meet.
Like Absolutely.
Your daily yeah. days wouldn't, you wouldn't cross paths.
Mm-hmm.
But you get a chance to do that in these groups and
right.
common goals too.
Right.
And from there, yep. friendships build. So
yeah. yeah. So demographically, you can be all over the place,
totally.
You know, yep. and even from slow runners to faster runners from, Absolutely. You know, people that are in just different
age differences.
Places. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Socially. And yep.
absolutely.
It brings everybody together to this common. And it's pretty cool to see.
Yep. For sure.
So, yeah. Like the before and the after, like during the run, it's everyone's kind of
right.
in their zone to
you,
some extent.
You kind of do. You know? Yeah, but exactly.
It's the before and the after, you know, where everyone
yeah.
kind of.
Yeah, yeah, it is fun, and I think that everybody works together to feel good together.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
yeah. There's no, I don't know. Everybody's the same.
Yeah, yeah. So. Totally.
Suffering together
helps. Sometimes, oh my gosh, there have been some runs. Yeah. I don't know. This is way back when I was just thinking about we used to train up the shore, and sometimes we would show up, and you know, you'd have like a 12 or 14 mile run, and be like sleeting, snowing sideways. There'd be snow plows out, and we'd be out there. You know,
yeah, like, exactly.
For real,
like in April.
Like, what the hell like are
it
we
always
doing?
Always happens in April. There's always one Saturday long
Seriously,
run.
Seriously, like
April.
I can't even see the road, but it's
yeah.
okay. I got it.
Right, it's blowing sideways, and yeah.
Then you get done, you're like, that was. Awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my.
So when you started getting more serious with the training group, Mary, like how many marathons had you done or?
I think I probably had done 6 or so. I mean, and some of them were trail and some of them were grandma's.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't like this huge number because I just was always running. Like
right.
I didn't specifically need to have certain things to train for,
right.
you know, because I, yeah, but I just knew that if I could put it all together, I really, really wanted to run Boston at least one time,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And since then I've ran some other things. I did have some injury stuff that kind of comes with running, set me back for a while. And I've said too, that there's only certain marathons I would run again now,
oh, yeah,
like sure. to really train or, you know, and I've got a few of those in mind. I might kind of look at another Boston again, that yeah, might be yeah. coming up, but I don't like to say that stuff out loud.
Right. That's
yeah. Yeah. That's just kind of
jinxes.
Yep, it's quiet.
It's like
that
in
quiet.
The seed stage
yep,
in, the,
yep,
in your mind.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about it. So,
well, last time with Boston, how did that even get to the seed stage back then? Like, how did you even find out about
wow.
it? Did you have friends who were...
This is so... Writer? I'm glad you asked that question because it's really important to me and who I am, sort of, and I think for all of us. So... Like I knew that I always wanted to do a bigger race or whatnot, and I don't know if everybody all remembers back in 2013 when we had the bombing at mm-hmm. Boston,
yeah.
and I had already been thinking like I'd been running and kind of training, and I thought I was so I had friends that had ran in that race, and it just completely directed to me like I'm just trying to explain this the best I can. That was so devastating, and I think it was devastating to our country, and I thought I just wanted to persevere and say that it doesn't matter what people think that they're going to do, that we're all still collectively going to be there and
yeah.
work together and be a unified country.
Mm-hmm.
So that really sort of made it clear that I was going to run Boston, so I wanted to do it for all of those people.
Yeah. Like, yeah. you can't stop me, you can't stop
exactly.
all of us, you can't
exactly.
stop us.
Like, you can yeah. you can pick the biggest, and, you know, ironically, and I'm sure they knew, I don't know that even everybody knows this, but that Boston is always on the Monday, which is Patriots Day.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
And I don't know that even a lot of, I'm not, you know, history people or whatever,
yeah.
like really pay attention to that. And
yeah, it's
to
not
me,
a big holiday yeah, except in Massachusetts.
Exactly.
Well, it's huge in Massachusetts, but not.
And it really meant yeah. a lot to me. So I wanted to do that for everybody, for all of us, for me.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
yeah.
And like, had you had a qualifying time before that?
I had not. So
okay.
But I hadn't even tried though.
Right.
So that was a whole, yeah, that was. That was interesting because all of a sudden you have this training plan, right?
Uh-huh.
And you look at that and you're like, oh my God, mm-hmm. this is what I have to do.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, I did every single one of those things and I made sure I did it.
Wow.
The best I could. And because I thought, geez, if I miss one, you know, what if that's the one that if I miss it by, you know, how
right,
many seconds?
5 seconds.
Because
that
it's
one
huge.
Run, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't know if people realize too. Yeah, Boston goes on rolling time, so there's so many people per age group, and regardless of what your time is, if you're not, you know, however many people in that age group, you're mm-hmm. still not going to get in. Right. So you have to kind of be under. It's a little stressful.
Yeah, you need a cushion.
Yeah. And it's more and more. Yeah. I mean, it's incredible how. Yeah. And to me, that shows just this this running culture, in a sense, that's still evolving and still, in a sense, you know, getting better. I don't want to say that faster times are necessarily better, but obviously more people are running and trying to do better. Yeah. I don't know how to...
I think that's a good thing. I think okay. The fact that it's harder to get in, but more people are doing that, I think is a good thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not trying to say... Do you know, like, I don't want anybody to ever feel like they have to be fast or whatever, just getting out there. And,
right.
Yeah.
And it's just, because I love running. I love that. I love anybody who's even trying to run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there have been times when, you know, I felt like I've been a decent runner, you know, and you're out there on, let's say it's a lake walk, and you see somebody you know is obviously struggling, you know, mm-hmm. they're walking, and then they're running when you go by, you know, and I think to myself, my heart is the biggest heart for that person. Like, you are incredible to me.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm. I just, out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Doing it and trying and
out there doing it.
Yeah.
There's inspiration everywhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
when I see people in Harley thigh deep in mud,
I think
you're out here doing it.
Yeah. Right. No, that was way back. That's funny. Nobody saw us then. There were no cameras or pictures.
Right.
So you had this time in mind. First of all, that sounds like pretty stressful. Like, I can't even miss one.
That's my seconds, mind, though. That's how it's set up. You know,
that's a lot of self pressure, like to put on yourself, right? I mean,
I guess I don't know.
It seems like it to me. For me, I'm like, right. If I miss a month,
I'm not. If I'm set on something, and you know what? Here's where I'm at now in my running. Like, I have certain goals and maybe seeds that are sitting back in there, but I am not. I like to enjoy it more, in a sense, and I will now. I'll be like, that's fine, and I try to listen to my body more too. Especially getting older, to prevent injury, I think it's really important to listen. If your body's tired for a day, take a day off, rest, sleep in. You know,
right?
And also realizing that I think that rest is just as important. We've talked about this as the running and the training aspect. I mean, it's a complete. You know, it's a complete package for recovery and running. So I tend to be a little more lax about it than I used to be. But
that's good.
Yeah,
that sounds stressful. Right away.
I don't know. We'll see when I put that goal back out there, if it stays the same. But for now, that's what I'm telling myself.
Yeah, I think that's smart.
So yeah.
So spoiler alert, you made it.
Yeah, I did. I did. Yep, I did make it. So,
what was that path to Boston for you then? Can you tell us about how that all went?
That's interesting. So, actually, getting, you know, like, your qualifying time is kind of the thing, you know, to get into Boston, because it's such a privilege. And and really the reason, I don't know if people know this either, is that the qualifying times for Boston weren't just because you're supposed to be fast and whatever. It's because the course is hard, it's rolly, and it was due to make sure that runners were fit for that course.
Right.
You know, it wasn't because you're so fast or whatever. It was really to quantify and to qualify people to be fit and be ready to run that course.
Right.
So when you qualify is generally the next year. So luckily, I had what? Let's see. I don't know, 7 or 8 months. 7 months, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I think from June, July, August, September, 10 months.
Okay.
But,
yeah.
So I took some time off, and then I was going to start training, which in northern Minnesota is always a challenge because Boston is the beginning of April and it's snowy and terrible and whatnot. So, So I did train the best that I could, and then lo and behold, in January, I fell and I broke my arm.
Oh.
So, after all of that, and I thought, oh my Lord, like, are you kidding me? You know,
better than the leg, though.
I know. And I had a friend at the time. They're like, don't worry. Like, you don't need to run it. You don't. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
hell no. You have no idea what I've done. I am running that thing like if I'm half dead, you know? So I remember I took like 3 days off and I was back in the spin cave. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm in the spin cave. And I think you remember this, Tony, because I was still training with the group some.
Yeah, I remember.
I took some time off and I came back and I may have not supposed to have been running outside yet. Yeah. But I just made sure that my arm was, you know, just kind of taped up to my, I had a sling. So
it's not like a cast or anything.
Yeah.
It's like a sling.
No, it was, my brake was up too high. So they just set it in a sling. And it wasn't so much that I wasn't supposed to quote run for the jarring. It's cause they didn't want me to fall, right, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I didn't fall. Yeah. So I made it to Boston. Ended up bringing my oldest daughter, which was a real privilege, and I had some of the people in the running community that were kind enough to sort of watch her while I was running and parent, which was really cool. Yeah, and that's sort of that camaraderie that you get with that group, and running groups. And I'll tell you what, when I lined up, I tried to remember every portion of it because it was such an honor and a privilege to be there that I thought to myself, and this is the first time in any race I've ever thought this, I'm just going to enjoy this race. Like, I'm just going to have fun. I know I'm not in my peak condition because I had some time off because of a broken arm, perhaps. and I'm just going to enjoy it. And I'll tell you what, I did. Yeah, I literally ran that race. I talked to people. I high-fived people. I actually stopped and went to the bathroom. That's never happened, ever. Right. I did. Yeah. I'm just going to, like, enjoy this, you know? Yeah. And it was such a wonderful experience. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, this was another thing. When I got done, the whole thing is so incredible. But when I got done, I crossed that line. They give you your water and you get your swag, your medal. Medal. And I didn't look at my time. Mm-hmm. I didn't even want to know what my time was. I mean, actually, I knew it was decent.
Oh, huh.
But for once, I didn't want to look at my time. And I'll tell you what, I have still never looked at my time.
No. Nice.
That's awesome.
I have not.
Should we tell you?
No.
We could find.
Let's not. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. I have an idea of what it was. And I did at some point look back and I saw what the time clock was running. That's not necessarily your trip time, your. So I knew it was, which was still okay,
Yeah.
I figured for the amount of training and where I was at. But yeah, I never looked.
So. That's sort of my take on Boston as well. Particularly for people who live up here because, like you mentioned, the winter is so hard to train. That I think it's a reward.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a performance. The course is very difficult to try to perform on anyway.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And our time of year that we have to train for. And I think it's just like, it's like a party.
Yeah.
Like
it was just wonderful.
So treat it that way. Like you did. Yeah.
It was so cool. We actually stayed at this hotel. Which hotel was it? One of the downtown ones by the expo. And me and my friend, and actually I had met her from another running, a running retreat that was a women's running retreat for Kara Goucher.
Yeah.
So, and we ended up
Missing Acres.
Yeah. And that's a whole nother story. But anyway, so her and I kind of hooked up. She was from the cities. We stayed downtown in Boston. And we weren't in any big hurry to get back out there. We were just chilling and doing our thing. So we went down to the local pub area in the hotel, and these other people come in, and they're all, and we're like looking, and she's like, oh my goodness, I think that's Wilson Chibet, who at the time was, like around Meb and being one of the fastest men in the world.
Yeah.
And you know what? We hung out for hours together. It was so fun. It's like, who's thinking this? That we're all just, hanging out with Wilson Chibet and all of the other people. I was
205 marathon.
It was, super crazy. We're all just like, So that was really neat. It's just incredible the things that can happen if you just have an idea and a little bit of seed back there and a little bit of determination to do some things out there in the world.
Absolutely.
So
totally.
Wilson's like, I ran 206. What'd you run? I don't know.
I didn't check my time. So, exactly. Hey, I wish that's kind of funny. It's true. Yeah. I have no idea. So, yeah.
Fun.
So maybe another Boston attempt here, potentially.
Maybe. I'll pick something, I think. I'm just not sure.
What marathon are you looking at running?
Oh, I don't know. And here's another. I was going to do Mesa last year. I was thinking about it. I know we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And Boston recently added some time on for basically drop elevation marathons. I don't know if that's one of them.
Okay.
I necessarily wouldn't pick that one again. It was just something to do and something different. So I don't know yet.
Okay.
I, you know, I don't want to say it's a certain thing or a certain, I just want to see where my training goes right now. I know I'm doing the Kansas City Half Marathon coming up in October 18th. That's just for fun. One of the girls I grew up with, my daughter, she's running her first marathon. So from the Proctor area. Yeah. We're going to drive down together.
Cool.
So she actually is really excited about that. She's like, Mary, you're going to be there for me.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I know that, you know, running, she kind of came into running because of my daughters and hanging out with us. So
that's cool.
It's going to be really neat. Yeah.
It's nice to have a kind of a race Sherpa, I feel like, on your first marathon.
Yeah,
too. Like,
super.
I'm so proud
of her, you know? I don't know what I'm going to pick. I just kind of want to see where everything goes, and I don't want to put that pressure on. And I've, you know, like I kind of said, I had some injuries a while back, and I just am trying to be very preventative and sort of conservative. I want to run a long time, so I'm feeling good again.
You brought up a point when you talked about going down with that with the friend of your daughter's, she's doing the marathon, you're doing the half. And it's kind of a theme for us in this podcast often, where we talk about kind of being a link in a chain, where we start out our running careers and we look up to people. There's people who kind of mentor us and inspire us, and then we stick with this long enough, and all of a sudden we're the mentor.
Yeah,
and we're doing the inspiring. Who are some people who inspired you and mentored you when you first got started?
This sounds really
funny.
And
even if it can be like Mary Decker and Zola Budd, like, like they inspired you, right?
They absolutely did.
Never met them and don't
know
them.
Oh, you know who else? Flo Jo. I'm sorry, she's still the goat to me. We can go on that debate, not going there. My Flo Jo. Yeah. And that's really funny. But this is funny. So go way back into, like, I think it was like 7th or 8th grade. I had a track coach, and his name was Mr. Brandt, and he was the biology teacher, right?
Okay.
Science teacher.
Yeah.
And he was so he was the best coach I think I've ever had. No offense, Tony.
That's okay.
I was young then, you know, so qualifying that. But honestly, I wanted to run well for him. Like, he was fair and even, and like, he honestly inspired me to want to stay in running and to stay in track and to always do well. That sounds so odd, but definitely.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's, like, necessarily specific people. I didn't come from, like, a really a running family. Like, my mother knits, you know?
Right.
So she's not much of an outside girl. Mm-hmm. I've always kind of been an outside person.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have specific people. I do know, like, I like Allison Phoenix, you know, there's another one. Like, I really like these sort of strong women track runners.
Yeah.
And there's ones that are presently that I do, that I like too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably my 7th grade science teacher, Mr. Brandt.
And how does it feel now to kind of be a mentor and be someone who's inspiring people?
I love that because... Yeah. You know, our lives are all over the place. I always come back to running, and to have some, in a sense, I don't want to say it's, because this sounds, I don't want to sound heady or whatever, but a legacy of some kind that you can leave for your children or for other people in the community. I think that's what I think is beautiful, you know?
Yep,
definitely.
So, yep, totally.
Yeah.
Like something positive
to
pass on, yeah.
And hopefully they
some
pass that on
example.
As well.
Totally, exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Lincoln chain.
Mm-hmm.
So after Boston, did you have a new seed that got planted of this is what I want to do next? Or after finishing that, just having the best race, best experience ever, what was going through your mind?
Well, after Boston, I'd already kind of had some injury things going on. So, I took some time off for a while. Mm. I had some surgery on a tendon that was reattached. So, and I think I'd probably been battling that for a little bit.
Was that from
I completely forgot in here. You're right. I know where you're kind of going with this, Mike. Yes, you do. So I was doing some trail running. I forgot about the trail running.
Just a little bit.
So in the meantime, I'm still trail running. There were a few races because I've like really essentially been that trail runner, not necessarily a road runner, but I love that too. So then I don't know. I always knew that I wanted to be, and I think too, because even running that half Voyager, even though it wasn't over quote unquote 26.2, it was like an ultra marathon, like back in the day. And I was really into that in trail running. And so, I set my sights on some of the longer runs, like Superior 100 was mm-hmm. one of them. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I tried that for a while. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. And I completed that one too. Spoiler alert for myself. Just kidding. I can let you beat me.
Yeah.
And so that was really fun. And there were different races all through there. I don't like to call them races, but trail runs, you know?
Yeah.
Leading up into, and you have qualifying races, and that's right. just a whole nother rabbit hole kind of.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was awesome. That's kind of where I know you a lot from too, Mike.
You're right.
We did a lot of that trail stuff. And
together,
And seeing you out there in Zumbro and...
Oh, yeah.
All those things, so...
When you think of like chasing a BQ and going to Boston versus qualifying for a 100-miler and doing that, like how do you separate those two in your mind? You're like,
that's I don't
pros
even,
and cons.
Yeah,
know?
They're completely different. You know, I was lucky enough, and I'm not trying to toot somebody's horn, but Mr. Stenslin sitting here, you know, he gave me a lot of, I don't know. Goodwill in a sense, and he said, you know, it's hard for somebody to be able to run fast and run long like a trail, you know. And I appreciated that, so I they're just completely different. But here's I thought, so I did a lot of trail running, and we had a lot of women groups that did trail running as well, and I'd already been doing some longer races and had set my sights on Superior. The first time I ran it, I think I dropped out in mile 84. But during that time, I kind of had more women that were wanting to trail run, you know. And I had one of the women, we were on this long run, and you talk a lot because, you know, what else is there to do, kind of, except make sure you don't trip and fall. And she said, you know, like how is it that you put it in your mind that you're going to run 100 miles? And it was this sort of aha moment in my head, and I thought, that's so interesting, because I, from my perspective, thought, well, how could you not run 100 miles? Like, it had never even occurred to me that you couldn't run 100 miles.
Yeah.
So it was just a whole different, and I thought, that's how people think. Like, you just don't realize that your thinking is different, you know? I had always thought, well, why couldn't you? Mm-hmm. You know? So, but
like
that
the
was
inverse.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Which that actually helped me, because some of these women were kind of looking to, you know, looking for inspiration and to do runs and whatnot. So to sort of help them kind of.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you know it's 100 miles or whatever distance, you just accept that that's what it is. And then you go do it rather than thinking that seems like a long ways and probably not possible.
Right.
Well, then it's probably not going to be possible.
It's not, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It really is almost like, I know exactly what you mean. It almost is that easy. Mm-hmm. That you decide, oh, okay, well, that's what I'm doing, so now I will go do it.
So how do I do it?
Yeah.
One foot in front of the other.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
And, what's the saying? Whether you can or you can't, you're right.
Exactly.
So, oh, yeah.
That's exactly.
Is that maybe Martin Luther King? I don't know, but something
who
like
knows.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, absolutely. And that's kind of, you can take so much of this and, like, throw it out into your regular life as well, you know? So whether you can or can't, you're always right.
Is anything? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
What one do you think is harder, like to train for and the actual race?
Oh, BQ or 100-miler? That's mean. That's hard. I'm honestly, I'm going to go with the 100-miler, so the trail. So that's just a whole nother gritty animal, my gosh. So, because there's so many things that have to come into play to finish that race between luck and health and nutrition and electrolytes and weather and
intelligence and toughness.
You
gotta have those too. I remember your 100-miler that year, and you performed it really, really well. It was a really
that
cool
was
thing
a good
to
run.
See. Like, I never doubted that you were gonna finish.
Thank you.
Yeah, that day. You know. You just were in control the whole time.
that was a good one. Yeah. The one before, there was a little weather in there, so I remember it poured all night long, and we were going through that like that Crosby Manitou, and it was all black mud, and there were like slugs out, and it was like something from Lord of the Rings. That's what I kept thinking.
Yeah.
But so in order to finish that and complete that, and all the training you do, it's just a whole different animal. Boston's amazing, and that road racing is cool, but that gritty getting down there doing all that stuff is something
for
else to do.
And hours
the ultra racing. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, it's just the fatigue, your mental, your head, you know?
Yeah.
So that kind of goes away sometimes. You're right. Just letting your body do what it does.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep.
Yeah.
I guess I'm kind of curious. You've mentioned a couple times, Mary, you know, injury prevention and just injuries cropping up. I mean, what's worked well for you, especially like at this maybe phase in your running career, right, as you're being more mindful about longevity, like what's worked really well for you to kind of hold off some of those more serious injuries that are taking out, you know, taking people out?
They do. I'm just trying to be super consistent in all of my training, which includes sleep, eating, listening to my body. That is huge. Like just the other day, I felt like I had some kind of a cramp. And this is a weird, like up in my whatever thigh. And you become so attuned when you're running and you've ran so many times to every single thing in your body. Like, you know, like you can run with a Garmin and look down and be like, oh, I'm doing like, I can think in my head, like I'm running, I don't know, an 8:25 minute mile, right? Yeah. I'll look down and be 8:25, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like you become so accustomed to absolutely everything.
Yeah.
So really listening and taking that, like I'm getting older, you know? So I'm in my 50s now. And I really listen to that because I can't afford to not, you know. It just takes longer to heal, and I want to enjoy my running. So, I really listen to my body.
Yeah.
And I take breaks now when I need to and rest.
Yeah.
So, and don't push it. I've pushed things on purpose sometimes just to get to where I'm going, and it's, you know, it's cost me. So,
you know, I think as we get older, everything you said is absolutely true, and I think for younger people, that line between toughness and discipline and then listening to your body and taking time off, that's hard to, it's really very blurry hard. And you don't know exactly where it is, and it's easy to cross over onto the wrong side.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get older, you understand that line is very clear and you know not to cross it. And that's such an advantage.
Yeah. 1000%.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you're someone who is very tough and gritty and is going to, you know, you follow a training plan to the T, right?
I do
when you're really dialed in. And so that kind of mindset is the kind of mindset that is easy to cross the line at times. It's an awesome mindset to have.
Yeah. And I know I've done that because I want it so bad.
Yeah.
Because
we have to be disciplined and we have to be tough and we have to fight through, I don't want to today. Yeah, we have to fight through that. But then knowing what is too much and knowing that the smarter move today is to take a zero, to wait till tomorrow, to go shorter or whatever.
And no matter how hard that is.
Yeah, and it is
I'm willing to do it now.
But it gets easier, doesn't it?
Yep, it does actually. Yeah. And I'm okay with it. And it makes me 100%. A stronger runner. And I've, like I said, I've really come to appreciate rest and recovery over pushing my limits anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's cool too is like, I mean, it's not cool being injured or being like sidelined, but like you've learned that like maybe the limit.
Yeah.
And like I've gone past the limit.
Yeah.
So like I think it's that's
kind of
cool.
What I do.
I think that's just interesting with like your experience, and maybe, you know, if there's a newer runner listening, you know, to kind of hear from your story of like, well, you know, sometimes you do pass the limit, but at least if you can learn, you know, and like figure out what that limit is or maybe the issue. That
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think that's cool.
Yeah. So it's all learning.
I wanted to ask you about nerves, race day nerves.
Ooh, yeah.
Are you someone that gets pretty nervous? And if so, how do you handle that? Or how do you even feel about, I'm nervous?
So like I'm thinking like back to like grandma's qualifier or like races like that where you're really like
the important races, right?
Yeah, the quote unquote. I mean, they're all important in a sense,
right?
Or not? I don't know. More but anyway, so what was that like? Are going to make a difference in my goals? That's a good question. I literally just have to like stick that down. I feel like I push it down into the back of my this is a good one, is that running your own race. Like you have to go out there with that mindset, and especially if it's something that you're looking for a goal or for a time or whatever. You cannot get caught up in what everybody else is doing or that this is a different day or that whatever. You have to run that your own race. And I literally will have it set up. Like I will go through my mind and run that whole race. And even when I'm standing there waiting, like I actually try to like, like push those nerves kind of back down and sit and just chill, you know, because it's not any different than let's say what I've ran through my head, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So, and also if those nerves are so cranking at that time, you know how much energy you're burning and yeah. the adrenaline right. and yeah. you need that adrenaline, you know? So it's hard to keep all that in check. I mm-hmm. get that,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I ask because, you know, I think everybody gets nerves on the start mm-hmm. line of a race.
That adrenaline dump though, that'll get you.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody handles it a little bit differently. Yeah. But, yeah. Yeah.
Push it down. That's what you say.
Right.
Push
I try.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then, yeah, just make sure you run your own race.
And along those lines, as you were saying that, I yeah. thought of something else that is, again, kind of one of those like this or that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Like in race, in the middle of a race, you're running your own race. Are you a person that you're like, oh, I want to beat that person? Like you get competitive, even if you...
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, like, and then all of a sudden,
right.
if you are like, okay, I'm going to try to beat that person, are you running your own race? Or are you throwing that plan out the window because right. now I'm competing?
Yeah.
Are you like that?
I'll be honest. I can get caught up in like so-and-so running my size, kind of getting on my nerves. I'm going to stay, you know?
Yeah. Like any little silly thing, I do it all the time.
Totally. You know, especially, yeah. Yeah.
I don't like the color of those shoes. I'm going to pass right. that person. Yeah. Like, just dumb things, but I do it all
absolutely,
the time.
Absolutely, yeah. I can still get caught in that, you know, and then mm-hmm. and when I catch myself, and especially if it's kind of going on a little bit in my head, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. I have to be like, you got to run your own race. Correct. You know, like don't listen to their breathing anymore because it's bothering you,
right? Because I think it can be a helpful thing to get into that competitive mode, but it can hurt you too if you hang on too long.
It can be in the right place
of your comfort zone,
you know.
Yeah.
When I ran shorter races, and I used to do a lot of the NMTC races, the spring and the fall series, mm-hmm. and that can get fun, like you get a little more competitive there. There's shorter distances, a lot of times if you know those races, like the trail ones, and you can really, like, you know where you can kind of bump around people and whatever. See, now that's fun. That's you know, fun. That's where I kind of let some of that actual, like, competitiveness sort of, flow out.
Absolutely.
So, but in a longer one, and one that I need that discipline, I can't afford, in a sense, to let myself get caught up in that too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you'll get caught. Every time you think it's like, oh, this is like I'm running, you know, I'm running, oh my gosh, something like 20 seconds under my like normal run time. Like, oh, I feel great, whatever, you know, like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
No matter what you think, it's not any different. Like, this is not the best race you've ever had. I don't care what you say. you know what I mean?
Totally.
It's like, this one's different. Yeah. It's like, no, it's not. Nope. And you're going to get caught, especially if it's a long race, like 100%. A marathon.
Yeah.
Run your race.
Today, a miracle's going to happen. Right? I can tell. It's mile
different
two.
Today. This is my race.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
Yep.
I don't. Maybe it is, but mm-hmm. I haven't had that happen, and I know that I've paid for it and gotten caught. That's so
funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Just because I was so amazing for a while.
Right.
I'm curious, Mary, where's like your favorite spot to run in the area? Do you have like a route that you...
I'm a lucky kid in a way, being a Carleton County girl.
Yeah.
And I always, we grew up cross-country skiing in Jay Cook State Park.
Okay.
Like, as kids.
Yeah.
My parents would take us. I was lucky that way. And Sunday after church would be, we'd go cross-country skiing. And a lot of times we would go to Jay Cook. And so that has always been, like, that's my home park. Like, I know that place, like, the inside, back, outside, whatever, back of my hand, you know? And that is still my place. That I go, and I was just there a couple days ago. Awesome. I know every single inch of that park.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, you know, like, been sort of newer on the I don't know, on the horizon, or I don't know what I want to say, like, whatever. For people that didn't understand, like, since COVID, I guess, been a lot more people there. Like, I used to run there, and I wouldn't see people there for weeks, you know? Right. It would just be me by myself. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And my dog. So, Abby Cakes. Shout out to Abby Cakes. She's gone now. Yeah. But anyhow, and even now, like, even if I'm upset sometimes, I'll just go, like, I'm going to my park, you know, like, I'm going home, and I'll run through those woods, and that's my favorite.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Jay Cook.
Yeah, I love that place.
Do you have, like, a lookout or, like, a section? I mean, and you don't have to...
That's okay.
...divulge your favorite...
Right.
...your secret can't spot, but, like, yeah.
I do. I've got a couple of them.
Yeah?
So, yeah. Yeah, I can't tell you that.
Oh, yeah. I tried.
So, but no, that's my home park, and that's just where, that's where all the healing and magic happens for me. So
yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Kansas City half next. What else is on the horizon for Mary Binfield here?
I don't know. I'll probably be looking at some type of qualifier. So okay. I'm just not naming what it is yet. I haven't. Yeah. I got to let my head like all, I don't know, sort of like go around that and.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Cool. We'll figure it out when it's time.
Yeah.
You'll rock it when the time comes.
Maybe. You'll we'll crush see. It. Thanks. You know I will. So.
Nice. Any other questions for Mary here, Tony?
I don't think so. Yeah.
Anything else that people need to know?
Mary? No, I don't know. No, not. You guys have covered quite a bit. I'm surprised you got that much out of me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Running's awesome.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. I appreciate you guys asking. It's good to see you guys.
Yeah. Okay, and then that wraps up episode number 85 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. Thanks so much to our guest, Mary Binfield, for joining us. Cool to talk to Mary and some of the stuff that she has done and is looking to do in the future as well. So, yeah, thanks to all our listeners. Thanks to all you guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Yep.